Good evening, everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters, from my perspective, are people who have, they're injecting bubbles of consciousness into the great collective of our species, telling us how to empower ourselves and already showing that they're empowering themselves, bringing us into a much more, what would we say, evolved and transcendent part of our nature. We all know it's the time of the great shift. And I have a wonderful interviewee today who's also got a show on BBS Radio and who is a channel. And as a channel, she is, she brings in the speakers of the, what is it? This is Patricia Corey. I'm going to let you introduce yourself so I get this right. Syrian High Council. But are you the speaker? Are they the speaker of the Syrian?
They're the speakers, and I am their transmitter, they call me their channel.
So wonderful.
Channel for the Syrian High Council, the speakers of the council.
Oh, good. And their message is really powerful. I've got here book 3, or the third revelation book on No More Secrets. It's called No More Secrets, No More Lies, a handbook to starseed awakening. And it really is very poignant about all the things that you and I have been exploring for quite a while as we near the shift, all about how there's a power that runs our lives here and how more and more of it is being revealed. And what I really like is you're able to present ways of us empowering ourselves and not be squashed by it. So welcome to the show, Patricia, and let's talk about politics, shall we?
Okay. It's one of those areas that makes people either excited or uncomfortable, and either way I think is important for us.
I think I get excitedly uncomfortable.
Right.
But we spoke a while ago about you coming on this show. You were going to be away and going to Egypt and just arriving back. And then with the amazing happenings over there in the Middle East, you didn't go. So it's actually a perfect setup for us to talk about the Middle East and how it represents the shift. Would you like to talk a little about that?
I had to make that decision, the call, whether the group would depart or not, and most of them still wanted to go because we all believe that, I think that you have a calling and you want to fulfill that initiatory experience, and so sometimes reasoning goes out the window, but we were supposed to be leaving in the middle of the rioting and the disturbances in Egypt, and I made the call to stay back, thanking guidance for helping us avoid being in that mess, because despite the excitement that many of us are feeling about how this reflects the great shift in human consciousness, still, no one wants to get caught up in the danger, the violence of these times. So
and it can make it can really add to the problem in a certain way, can it? Because that was a peaceful demonstration in many ways.
Well, it was peaceful until Mubarak's people organized getting the criminals out of the jails. What happened was the police disappeared on the 29th. Mm-hmm. Let me get my dates right. I think it was on the 29th of January, the police suddenly disappeared, and then they let out the, what they were calling the thugs. So they went out, the police went out in plain clothes, and this is reported to me from the Egyptian people, and opened up all the prisons and let out all the worst criminals on the street.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And this was done so that peaceful protest was turned into frightening, rioting madness, civil war, actually, and the people were in the streets trying to protect their families, and 60 women were raped.
Oh my gosh.
Woman was cut in half, and this had nothing to do with the protest. This was the criminals that were out marauding, trying to frighten the people into a hysterical civil war situation. So that would have been when we were going, and fortunately we weren't there. But nonetheless, things are beginning to get back to some semblance of order in Egypt, and the people are looking at a new way of being, a new way of understanding civilization and society, and hopefully that will be reflected in a new community consciousness rather than the usurping of a dictator for a military junta running the country, or worse, foreign, let's say, secret government infiltrators who impose yet another system.
Another oppression.
Not that I want to mention names or anything.
So, yeah, you probably don't have to right now. One of the things about you that we don't know is what kind of groups do you lead to Egypt, and what is the kind of the goal and the purpose of it?
I do sacred journeys all over the world, mm-hmm. Egypt being one of my favorite. In fact, since my book came out 2 books ago, my book came out called Where Pharaohs Dwell, which is a retelling of an experience of reliving firsthand recall of a past life in Egypt. And it talks a lot about the initiatory processes there and the experience of some of the most amazing places and energies that still hold in Egypt.
So you go into the pyramids and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Have you been?
No, I haven't, no.
Amazingly, the energies in these places are still holding, and so many people go to Egypt and do ceremony there. Mm-hmm. I think there's dark and light being done in these places, mm-hmm. so that the ancient Egyptian mysticism and magic still is activated, because even today, every day, people are in those pyramids doing ceremonial work.
And is that what you do? You take your groups into the pyramids and you do ceremonial work there?
Yes, I mm-hmm. manage to organize private ceremonies in private. As far as I'm concerned, the only way to experience Egyptian temples is in private access. Mm. That costs quite a lot of money to organize, but I do it because I get people into the Great Pyramid by ourselves, 4 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. when there are no humans around, and in the arms of the Sphinx, where you're not allowed to go near, and other temples. I take people in before dawn mm-hmm. or before it officially opens, and we have private ceremonies in these places. It's quite remarkable.
Wonderful. And people go through transformational experiences, I'll bet.
Immense.
Mm-hmm. How wonderful. I don't want to leave Egypt yet, so remind me, we're going to talk a bit about crop circles and that kind of thing in a few minutes. But the Egyptians, there was no damage done to the pyramids this time, was there?
No, the pyramids, fortunately, the sacred sites were closed pretty much immediately, mm-hmm. and with as little looting and damage as possible. The museum had, I think, a day of looting. Mm-hmm. And they went in and they took mostly valuables, like the golden necklace, one of the golden necklaces of King Tut.
Mm-hmm.
But the sacred spaces were left untouched.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to Egypt's government right now. How do you feel about all that? Do you think that their people are, they seemed to a lot of us here to be maintaining a really loving, intentional gathering of almost 1 million people. That's what it seemed from here. Is that continuing? Are people able to still maintain a community consciousness even though they've been through so much? And
I think especially because they've been through so much. I've just spoken with my contact there in Egypt, and he told me that, Patricia, he said, you can't believe what's happening. The youth are out on the streets cleaning the streets. We've never seen that happen before.
Wow.
They're cleaning the square. They are suddenly caring about their country.
Hmm.
And the youth are helping the older people to get water and to survive the catastrophe. There has been a lot of damage.
I bet it.
But he speaks of a heightened sense of community and a sort of wonder at the possibility that they truly have toppled this dictator, ruthless dictator. And when I ask, well, what do you think comes next? Because we are certainly concerned that the Muslim Brotherhood could be the next step, and that would be bringing people back into an Iran-style repression of great magnitude. And he said, no, I don't think that the people will settle for any more repression. It's time for democracy in the true sense of the word.
And are they being, they're still very much in support of one another from country to country in the Middle East right now, aren't they? And are people still using social networking and computers to keep
in touch? I don't
really
know about that. I couldn't speak about that with much authority. I can speak more about Egypt because I have almost daily contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, yes, I think that more than a religious fervor, what we're seeing is a population of people in the Middle East and Northern Africa who are nationalistically experiencing the celebration of their country becoming free.
Mm-hmm. And we can participate.
I'm hoping it isn't a movement to a religious, let's say, rulership, because that will take the people back very far.
Mm-hmm. I'm jumping around a bit, but with all that you're writing and all that you're channeling and all that we're experiencing with the oppressive power base around the planet, what we're talking about here is actually how people are being infused with consciousness, going through their own personal shift, how it's igniting a collective or a community consciousness. It's happening in a fairly dramatic way right now, isn't it?
It is indeed, and of course it's a ripple because people all around the world are finding it hard to believe that Egypt has accomplished this.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the Egyptians' own celebration of what they've achieved,
mm-hmm.
the rest of the world is looking, aside from the other countries that are also now rebelling. But people are saying, my God, the people of Egypt have spoken, and we long for the people of the world to stand up in their power and say, no more.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going through that in the States here. We're going through a little of that in the States here, a lot of that right now. And I'm thinking that the effect of it is really touching people here to actually stand up and complain about rights that are being taken away. I don't know if you know much about that right now, but it's going on here as well.
Well, I hope it hurries up and goes on there because every day another chunk of liberty is being removed from the United States. Now they're talking about taking DNA swabs at the airport. Have you heard that one?
No, please.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
They want to put this in, that you have to be swabbed at the airport before you can fly. And it's like, they want your DNA.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, well, when are people going to understand that within less than 10 years, framework. You've gone from a semblance of a democracy to a Gestapo Nazi-esque civilization where mm-hmm. I saw a video where a 9-year-old boy getting off of a train in the United States was frisked by the TSA, touched a lot, complete TSA scanning, and harassment. He was getting off of a train. If the security issue is the getting on the train that you could be a terrorist,
mm-hmm.
what is the point of frisking and harassing a 9-year-old boy getting off of a train?
Right.
And as soon as people understand that the plan is to make people completely subservient to authority at all times, knowing they can come to your house, they can grab your children, this is shocking. And it's time for people to wake up and smell the coffee.
I agree. And there are people beginning to move around the country in protest. But it's not just protest. I mean, when we think about the Egyptian thing and everything I read that you've done and even some radio shows I was listening to, you have this, for example, the Syrian High Council. What the speakers for the Syrian High Council, right? What do they have to say about that? Because it appears that we have enough power to raise our field and frequency, to raise our consciousness and move past this kind of oppression. Is that not what we're learning here?
Yes. Well, what we're learning, what the council have to share with us, which is not necessarily unique to them, is for us to understand that we are 7 billion people. Mm-hmm. And the secret government that runs this planet is 2,000. And all of this control is about them knowing that if we usurp the authority and stand tall in our power as individuals and as a collective, they will be overturned. So the message, one of the overriding messages is stand like the tall oak tree, stand tall in your power, say no, be comfortable with saying no, and represent yourself and the collective in truth.
And radiate your intention.
All over the planet.
Yeah, and radiate your intentions, right?
Yeah, I mean, people are standing up to, look at Libya. This man told the military to fly over the people and shoot them, and two of his planes landed in Malta seeking asylum. No, I think they jumped out of the planes, if I've got the story right, the pilots, and let the planes crash. Is that what happened? And refused to...
That was the oil fields, Bob says.
Yeah. No, they were... Well, that might be where the planes went down, but they were... told to shoot on site.
Yeah, and the thing that I read today about that is that they're Malta, that because of some kind of collusion with the Libyan government or whatever, Malta's thinking of sending these people back, in which case they'll be exiled, these pilots.
They'll be executed, you mean?
Yeah, executed, I'm sorry. And that's something that we need to really hold light on and really do something about, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that surprises me. I can't believe that Human Rights Watch is not on that.
Well, I think it is. I think that's just the issue that they're looking at today, or that's what I just read.
Yeah, no, that won't happen. They won't be executed.
Well, thank you, God. That would be great.
And
when I was listening to your talking with Linda Anderson about the crop circles and so on, I just was very reminded and inspired that we have all these messages coming, whether they're coming from other dimensions or whether they're coming from other beings. We have messages that actually ignite our consciousness so we can stand taller and more powerfully. Isn't that right?
Well, the crop circles, in my opinion, are some of the most important things that are happening on the planet at this time. And I have been a devout croppy since 1996, which is where I had a huge breakthrough to begin with. And I go every year, and every year they're more intense. Mm. And yet I see the same people mostly every year. Very few people ever go, and very few people are really aware of what's going on in these fields. And unquestionably, they can tell us all they want about how Doug and Dave are driving a plank around in circles, but we're being shown some of the most exquisite geometry, sacred geometry, multidimensional form and geometry in the crop circle.
And what I heard you talking about also is that sometimes when you're in them, it absolutely shifts people. People become energized in such a way as they become more conscious. Is that what you experience?
I have never had an experience in the crop circles where people were not fully experiencing incredible energy shift. I've never had people in my groups, for example, say, I felt nothing. Hmm. It's an intense... Well, you've heard the stories of how energy shifts and people's cameras don't work and electronics can go out and all of that. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, you feel there's something extraordinary happening. It's as much as you could describe what it would feel like to be in a tube of interdimensional proportion. That's how it feels to me. Like you're standing on the earth in this field, this horizontal land, and yet you feel like you're in a tube of light connecting to something far, far greater.
And so you feel it stays with you? You feel awakened?
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened to me? 1996, I went to England. It's quite an elaborate explanation of why I ended up going into the first crop circle, but I was taken there by a professor. I was studying at a color therapy school there, and I lost consciousness for 2 hours inside the formation. I didn't have any idea. It was one of those classic losing time sequences, and when he finally pulled me out, I said, oh, my God, I think I actually fell asleep here for a few minutes. He said, Patricia, you've been out for 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I came home, still in a daze, I started channeling. That was my first time channeling in my life.
Wow.
Despite the fact that I'm a clairvoyant, I've never used that faculty before then.
Wow. So what do you think it is? Okay, so my question is, you're doing touring sacred sites all over the world. We're talking about Egypt, and we're going into these pyramids for transformational capacities. You're going into the crop circles. And all over the world, there are these places, aren't there, that have been put there to activate us, aren't there?
Well, I don't know if they were put there to activate us. I think that the people who, and beings who came before us located Earth's neuralgic centers, let's say the most powerful vortices of Earth energy, and that is where they built their monuments. In the case of the pyramid, I kind of believe that they had some alien support team helping them do that, mm-hmm. whoever it was that built them. And we find that there are pyramids all over the world. We're now seeing probably the biggest pyramid in the world being uncovered in Bosnia.
Hmm.
And that's big news because it dates, we're pretty sure it dates back way before the Egyptian pyramids. Hmm. There are pyramids in China. There are pyramids, of course, in Mexico. So what do these pyramids represent and why were they placed where they are? I personally believe it's because they are on Earth's most powerful vortices, and they are triggers, in some way, triggers of Earth energy. And so we keep migrating to them, praying in them, doing initiations in them, tuning in them, mm-hmm. and activating them, keeping them, let's say, keeping them activated. It might very well be, I personally believe, that one of the reasons why they're doing everything possible to shut these places down is to keep us from activating these places.
Yes. Yeah. My feeling is always that they're, all these places are places for us to get activated. And I'm agreeing with you is what I'm doing here.
Yeah. And I also remind people that not only are we there to receive energies, but we bring energy into them as well. It's a united effort here. So we go into these vortices of the earth. We sing, in the case of the Great Pyramid, every group that goes in there ends up toning automatically, inspirationally.
Hmm.
And in doing that, you're working with Earth energies, and the exchange is immense.
I loved your explanation in Crop Circles, or maybe it was your guest Karen's explanation, talking about how geometric shapes are actually music in form.
Yes.
And that's essentially, and that's what you're saying in another way, isn't it?
Yes. Well, if you've ever heard about cymatics.
I just did on that.
A scientist named Hans Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
He came before Emoto with his messages in water. And he did experimentation running different sound frequencies through different media like sand, powders, oils, etc. And he would study the patterns that would come in these media when he ran the sound in. And the book, Cymatics, is full of these amazing graphics, these beautiful mandala of sound forming in different media. So you've got the Star of David shapes, incredible Flower of Life type images, just moving sound through different things. And the crop circles are the same. They are these amazing sacred forms in the crop. I think that something, some higher intelligence, is working with the intelligence of the earth itself, and the water shelf below the soil to create these amazing designs.
Well, and I was watching a video some years ago, and it said that it was likely from the Arcturians. Do you hold that, or are you more...
For the crop circle?
Yes. I
personally feel a great resonance in there with Syrian energies, because mm-hmm. the Syrians are all about sacred geometry and form.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, I would imagine that when you're talking about multidimensional consciousness, it's all interwoven. I think we're getting help from many, many levels, many dimensions.
But some of these pyramids, for example, being so incredibly old, I mean, the help has been coming for a long time, hasn't it? Or do you think it's just amping up right now, like we believe, because of the shift?
Well, people talk about the fact that when we finally get the revelation of ET reality, it will be the greatest breakthrough for humanity. And I remind them that we've had ET presence on this planet at many times in history, mm-hmm. and they kind of, what?
Probably
say,
all
well,
the way
all
along.
All you have to do is look at some of the hieroglyphs. You've got hieroglyphs in Egyptian hieroglyphics, perfect hieroglyphs of a UFO. You've got alien little beings in the hieroglyphs. You just have to look. And it's the same in the Mayan glyphs. All you have to do is look at the cover of Pakal's tomb, Pakal Votan's tomb, which is him sitting. It was made famous by, in Chariot of the Gods, I believe, or Maurice Cotterell's book, Super Gods, that talks about, it shows him sitting there in this absolute spacecraft type of body language with throttles, with a tube sticking out of the crown over his head. And it seems to me unquestionable that we were being shown visitation from alien beings on the Earth in other times.
And do you believe that it's so that we were kind of set on a path of evolution and we have to choose a lot of it and they can only come in at certain points, or that they're coming in now because we're supposed to be achieving or becoming more obvious to us because we're supposed to be achieving this shift now, this quantum leap?
You know, I adhere to the idea, to the concept, and also to what I'm told by the council, that there is indeed a no-interference law in the greater universe.
I thought that had been changed recently.
Right. Only when, now, some people have said it's changed because we're deemed higher or moving toward an evolutionary step where that law no longer applies. But what I'm told is that only when we become a danger beyond our own planetary sphere do those rules no longer apply.
So that's like,
in other words, you want to self-destruct, that's your business, go ahead and self-destruct. If you are going to destroy the Earth or planetary bodies around you, then we are free to intervene. And we have the capacity to destroy the planet 1,000 times over or something.
Yeah, it's...
And it looks like the maniacs that run the joint, as they say, are intent upon doing that. So the rules are usurped, and we are indeed going to have contact globally very soon now.
Well, Patricia, what about, like, who are these power people, the 2000, and what's in it for them to destroy the planet, to grab all the money? We know about that, but it's more of a multidimensional thing, isn't it?
Oh, boy, that is such a very deep conversation and question.
It's just so complex for us to comprehend.
It's hard for us to understand how much evil there could be.
Exactly.
And what would it have to gain by total destruction of the planet that these people reside on as well.
And what goes on in the minds and hearts of some of these people? They must know how awful they're being. You know what I'm saying?
They believe that they are the owners of this territory and that we are the worker bees and we are out of control and they need to absolve the planet of overpopulation, for starters, so they can have back their little environment of a more easily controlled planet. For starters, that's what I think. I think they intend on gross depopulation of the planet to at least half the size, half the population. Also, there are cities, complete underground bases and cities everywhere around this planet. Because people say, well, if they do a nuclear holocaust, they're going to die too. Wrong. The power players on this planet have, all of them, elaborate bunkers, elaborate trains from bunker to bunker, cities, bases. The planet is loaded. So if things get dicey up here, they're going to go like they've done in the past, slithering down into their bases and wait it out.
So the, another thing we've heard for quite a while, too, is that they can't maintain their power because they're going to evolve out of it, too, or... we're going to break into their power domain, and that will resolve that dominance. And I'm like, I'm wondering if that's true at all.
I think they know that their time is up.
You think their time is up, too.
And struggling desperately to hold on to this illusion of ownership of planet Earth. They really believed that it would go differently than it's going. And that is, to me, the Great Awakening, more than the idea that we're ascending to another level, more than individual, personal, and planetary ascension, is the witnessing and taking part of a revolution globally where people understand, take back their power, and with it, take back responsibility. And even if that means hardship, returning to a different kind of commerce, a different kind of community, or whatever, I believe that we are in the process of making that happen.
What do you think is the time frame?
Well, we're in it. And I think that the time, of course, it's perfect. 2012 is just about a year and a half away, a year, let's say 2 years away, 2012, December 21st. And we're right on target, aren't we?
I think we are. I'm just going to do a station identification here. We're on BBS Radio. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and my guest tonight is a very, very exciting woman, Patricia Corey, who's a clairvoyant and a channel, and she channels the Syrians. We're talking about, she channels the speakers of the Syrian High Council. Is that right?
Yes.
And you can get hold of more information of hers at patriciacorey.com or Syrian Revelation, S-I-R-I-A-N, Revelations, is it, revelations.com?
Yes, it's plural, SyrianRevelations.net.
.net, all right. And we're talking about something that a lot of you really care about, which is, what do we do about this illumination of this power structure that's squeezing the life out of our civilizations as we know it? So let's go back into this incredible conversation. So you think that they're disappointed, the 2000 power people are disappointed in how the earth is gone, and that we are too, what, creative, too feisty?
Well, I think it's cute that you say they're disappointed. I think it's a little stronger than that. They're furious because no matter how hard they, well, the channeled information I have, in, and a quote from one of my books, is the harder they squeeze you, the freer you become.
Aha!
And it's very simple, but it's very eloquent. It's so true. Squeeze, squeeze. Every day, more rights are taken away, and all that is doing is pushing the energy out into a rebellion globally. So weren't they much better off letting us fly on our airplanes without all of this ridiculous Nazi-esque control? Or are they trying to evoke a revolution?
I don't know, but we've got the social networking and all the internet connection and how we can be one in a second this way, you know, in consciousness and in drive. It seems a very interesting time. It's sort of a setup for them to lose a certain amount of power, unless they got a bigger plan on that as well. Because they did shut it down in Egypt for a while, didn't they?
Right, but you cannot, the more you shut down, the more people will find ways around it. So, great. So whoever invented the internet, was it started out with the military and it sprung up from there. But were they to shut down the internet, we are so adept into electronically now, another system will come up.
Exactly, yes.
So that message, the more they squeeze you, the freer you become, is all the more relevant.
I like
at
that.
At what point do they want to squeeze the human race?
Exactly.
It's not working.
But it's still happening, and they are tightening the noose right now. I also have an interesting concept. America is a land of, I'm not actually American, I'm Canadian, but I am here now, so I kind of am American. But it seems like it's the land of possibility. And boy, the more they squeeze here, the more people have to wake up. We have to wake up out of the numbing foods and the media and all that. Do you see any of that happening?
I don't see America as the land of possibility anymore. The golden hour of the United States seems to be dwindling. And I think that the distribution of wealth and opportunity is shifting.
So where do you think it's going to be more vital? And I want to go back to what you were talking about earlier, which is that we could be losing our way of living and recreating a social, a style of living on this planet, which might be very hard for a while, right?
Well, yeah, it's already all happened. We've been warned already. Mm-hmm. The price of food is going to become so exorbitant that a lot of people are going to be in difficulty to eat.
Mm-hmm.
The price of gas, they're talking about going up to $8 a gallon. By the way, we're already paying that pretty much here in Italy.
Oh, are you?
We're surviving. Mm. The roads are still as packed as they were before. But
human nature.
At some point, there will be a time when you simply cannot have the kind of lifestyle that you felt you were entitled to growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, many people are saying, yeah, right, Patricia Corey, we have not had that for the last 10 years because so many people are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And from one day to another, you've got a $10,000 a month job, and then you're broke and you can't get a job shoveling hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose everything, so to speak.
So is it happening in Italy as much as it is here?
No.
Okay.
Italy has this convenient black economy that from there, I think it's the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
But I better be careful what I say because I want to live another day.
Because you are on global radio, right?
True.
But that's
but
another power structure.
There is a black
structure.
Economy in this country, mm-hmm. and it manages despite itself. And I've told people, don't worry about Italy. It will always, it's chaos all the time. So in a chaos situation, it's just used to being in chaos, so whatever. But
is that why you went there?
No, I came here because my guides told me that I had to help burn a hole. Can you how's this for an assignment?
Okay.
Help burn a hole in the lead dome, meaning the Vatican.
Oh my, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so I left beautiful San Francisco, the land of open-minded, free-thinking, and came here with that assignment, and I'm doing my best to do that.
And how's the burning going?
Well, it's crumbling, isn't it? I mean, I'm not taking credit for it, but certainly the stronghold of that system is crumbling.
Well, that takes me back to the fact that it's being illuminated over and over where corruption really exists, isn't it? I mean, it's getting like really flagrant that our government is, or the economic system is, or the Vatican is. Somebody told me that the Vatican actually runs Bank of America.
That's true.
Wow. Hey.
Vatican also tells NASA a lot of things, a lot about what they need to do.
Hmm. So they're
the
part
thing
of
is that. When I first came out with some of the channeled materials, I have now got 10 books out.
Mm-hmm.
So when the first book came out, The Cosmos of Soul, it was a pretty prophetic book, and it was still a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And today, in 2011, it's not really a conspiracy anymore. Now the phase seems to be that it's flagrantly in our face, and they think they can get away with it.
Exactly.
They're not trying to even hide it anymore. It's just like, what are you going to do about it?
And I keep saying, holy mackerel, what are we, we're just sitting here. What are we doing? What can we do? I mean, your book.
It seems that the power wants to see what the breaking point is of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to see it. It's happening in Egypt and in all the Middle Eastern countries.
Well, the Middle Eastern countries and Egypt is basically the cradle of religious, the religions, isn't it? So it's kind of interesting that it's starting there in a very powerful way.
Yes, well, the Syrian Revelations material refers often to the desert days.
Mm.
In the channeled material, they talk about us entering the desert days as we enter through 2012.
Mm.
And I always understood them meaning the desert days as a sort of metaphorical state of difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Or shortage of water, I guess.
The desert being dry and arid. But I think they're talking about the actual desert.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so the other day I was thinking about that and like big revelation, aha moment. Wow, the desert days exactly are manifesting with all of these countries that are all desert countries now in revolution. So that's pretty exciting. The books are very prophetic.
Yes, I really have enjoyed this one so far, although it's a little... it's always positive that we can really make a difference, but it's a little horrendous when you talk about the food, the quality of the food, which a lot of us have been screaming about for years, but the damage to people all over the world, and it seems like it's in the hands that won't let it go, right?
Yes, the books don't pull any punches. In the book, No More Secrets, No More Lies, the title is that because they're saying, look, here is what it is.
Here's the reality.
Mm-hmm. And the second half of the book is, now you've looked at it, now here's what you can do, and here's what is coming for you. And it's very enlightening information about the activation of our DNA and the process that we're going through to overcome these obstructions.
And with the activation of our, okay, if with the activation of our DNA or with the change, there's a line I love, which is change your energy, change the energy, change the reality. Can we move ourselves out of these incredible situations by becoming more vibrant, resonating with a higher consciousness? I mean, can we actually live a parallel existence? You see what I'm saying?
We are living a parallel existence. If you think about the fact that all around us, there is destruction on so many levels, and yet most of us are not experiencing it personally.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But even if those who are, I have a dear friend who's in Christchurch, New Zealand, and
yeah,
I've been frantic trying to find out if she was okay, and she just wrote to me and said, I lost everything, but my children are well, and she had some homes that she, her business was rental homes.
Mm.
So she said, my three homes are leveled, but none of the people were hurt.
Well, that's
marvelous. And so we move on from here, and I thought, this is higher consciousness right here.
Mm-hmm.
Her concern was not she lost everything and what was she going to do, and she was busted and in despair. She lost everything, but nobody got hurt was her concern.
And that's marvelous, actually.
Although, that's where we, you see, the thing is, it's we glorify or complicate the idea of what it really means to reach enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that an example of the enlightened soul?
Yes, it is, actually, very much
so. So destruction all around, lost everything. I think I'm going to go house-sit in Portugal for 6 months. My daughter is great. My boy is in Uruguay, and none of the people were hurt in the homes. So we're all in camping. We're all camping out.
Mm-hmm.
We're sharing food. It's a remarkable time for all of the people here.
That's what I want to hear about, too, is more and more of our community consciousness, which is emerging all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the thing, that even though how we totally fear disaster, we're constantly nurturing, we're being compelled into fear at all levels, survival fear, boogie monster fear, terrorism fear, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, so what? So what if the house goes down and you start over? That's the nature of human experience.
And go back to the community thing. It's really something that we did not celebrate very much, and that's beginning to become the solution for a lot of situations, isn't it? People.
In fact, she says, "You cannot believe it, Patricia. The police, the firemen, we all share the water. We're all cooking together." She said it is a great, great experience, even though we're so heartbroken for the people who lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, we are all going to lose our lives at some time. We need to face that.
Mm-hmm. And we've
get
heard
over the fear of it and understand it, that we don't die. We just go to another location and do something there.
So dealing with the fears, that's the most important thing. That's what weakens us in the face of the power, isn't it?
Well, that's right. That's why our daily bread is fear, 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 fear.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, I'm exasperated by all of the terrorism fear.
Mm-hmm. I am too, actually.
I mean, I much more fear the guys that are supposed to be protecting us from the terrorists than the terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's their minds, actually. So what are they thinking about? But also the media. The media stuff drives me absolutely crazy. But I love places like BBS and how many courageous people are out there really pumping a different perspective out for people to grab hold of an expanded arena of possibility. I love that. But the media
itself. Yes, I love it too. And I celebrate you and, yes, BBS, all of us that are on BBS.
Mm-hmm.
Courageously bringing forward alternatives to that information.
Yeah, it's really, it's very exciting, actually. And yet, I when I tune into regular media or the news, I don't watch the news much. Do you?
No, I don't watch the news.
No. And it's...
It's the extremely horrible. If I want to watch the extremely horrible, I'll watch a scary movie.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is
I'm concerned about staying in balance, celebrating. It's very important to make sure that every single day you celebrate something special in your life.
Yes.
Because I feel that life is very tenuous. Mm-hmm. And I've had a great life. And if I'm gone tomorrow, I will be waiting to hang out with my mom, who is on the other side, and have some cappuccino with her. So I'm not afraid of that. But in the meantime, what a joke, what a waste, if every day I did nothing but worry about destruction and death and pain and suffering and terrorism.
And money.
And the horrible things. So I focus on celebrating the great whales and the dolphin beings, my animals, love, my work, the universe. I train my mind to be focused on all the power and beauty there is in being alive.
Wonderful. And you have certainly a lot of output, a lot of books, a lot of radio shows, and certainly these tours that you do. Tell us a little bit more about where you take these tours for sacred spots. Have you gone to the pyramids in China?
I have not. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I go at least twice a year to Egypt. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have another group forming for November.
Great.
And I have reserved the Great Pyramid for 11-11-11.
Yay.
So we will be in there at 4 a.m. chanting in F minor, which is believed to be the note that that makes the pyramid resonate.
Great.
And that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I also have people, I think it's time to approach the whales and the dolphins as emissaries. Because I think the time is coming when they're going to open up communication again.
Yay.
I think that they... In fact, my new book is called Before We Leave You, Messages from the Great Whales and the Dolphin Beings.
I saw that blurb about that. It looks wonderful.
We'll have to get you a copy of that as soon as it comes out.
That would be great. So you have a lot of time to write. I mean, you're a very busy woman, aren't you?
I don't know how I do it all.
And
I was just thinking yesterday, now, when was the last time I had a day off? And I can't remember because I work on the weekends, too.
But your life is about being, and that's your work, so I guess it's
and
hard
I love
to take
it.
Time off that.
I love all the things that I do.
Oh,
so,
that's exciting. What about, have you swum with the dolphins? Have you done that?
Yes,
sort of
I was
thing?
Just going to say I'm taking three different groups to the Azores Islands because I believe that that is Atlantis.
Ah.
And, in fact, I was amazed to see that recently on the news, in the news, in print, they've located a formation right off of the Azores Islands that is perfectly rectangular and is being explored as possible remnants of Atlantis. And my book says Atlantis, the Azores Islands are mountaintops of the northern part of the Atlantis continent.
Wonderful. So you just got your corroboration.
So I am taking people there in June to... as emissaries to reunite with the wild dolphins, and we will be swimming in the open ocean with them.
Hmm.
And I've done that a number of times now, and it is the most exciting, miraculous experience I think that I've ever had.
And do you communicate with them while you're swimming with them? Can you?
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Do you spin?
Yes.
Oh. How wonderful. And what about whales?
I haven't swum with whales yet, but I'm going to be making a documentary, and
okay.
The documentary is also going to be called Before We Leave You, and it looks like I'll be able to get permission to swim with whales.
Wonderful.
So,
where will you do that? Will it be...
It'll be in the Azores as well.
Oh, it will, eh? Hmm.
And I tell you what, you know, it is scary to jump into the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I
would be afraid, but I'm trying to deal with my fear, so, you know, I admit.
That's right, and I was in Egypt, I was talking to my group, and somebody said, well, is there anything that you fear, Patricia? You probably have no fear. And I said, yes, I do. I have one big one. And what is it? Sharks. I really am.
And they do have sharks there, don't they?
Sorry?
They do have sharks there, don't they?
Well, they say that there are no sharks in the area, but then again, that's foolish because sharks go in the ocean.
Mm.
But I decided that the only way I would walk my talk is to jump into the middle of the ocean and face that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And now I'm addicted. I can't wait to get back there and jump back in and swim with my pod.
Oh, that's wonderful. We swam with the dolphins down in Hawaii, and that was wonderful. But I was timid. That was my first time, and it was wonderful.
Oh, it's an amazing experience. For people who have never done that, it is life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's back to vibrational impact and resonance, isn't it? I mean, you can just...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're in the open ocean and they come if they want to come.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you have all these dolphins around you and you hear them. And they attune your body. You can feel the echolation bouncing off of your body. And I can feel them doing healing work on my energy body.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my.
And I just think, you know, what a miracle it is to have that opportunity to be with them. I just can't get over it.
So you feel that they're going to go through a huge change. They're part of the shift as well, eh? And other animals?
No, I don't think they're going through a great, huge change.
Oh, I thought you said they're communicating.
Us being finally able to understand that they are the highest consciousness on the planet.
Ah.
Because in the book that I've just channeled, they say it's not that we can't communicate with you. It's you cannot understand what we're saying.
So,
it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it?
It sure is. Do you work with ETs yourself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to understand them all right, or do they just download the vibration that has thoughts or pictures?
Well, predominantly my connection is with extra-dimensional consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had a few appear now and then, and little four-dimensional guys. And I don't know if we've got enough time for me to tell you a story.
Sure, tell a story. We've got a couple of minutes.
Well, I used to do one-on-one healing. Mm-hmm. I used to have a center in Rome called Lightworks. And one day I did psychic healing. One day a woman came in and laid down on the bed, and I started to do my crystal healing. And I saw gills on her neck. And as she went into a deep state of altered consciousness, she started choking, and she said, I can't breathe. And so as I was about to take her out of this altered state, I saw six grays.
Oh, my.
Materialize around the bed.
Hmm.
That was just a little bit intimidating, can I tell you?
Yes, please. So what did you do?
And I saw this huge black cord appear coming out of her power chakra and just extending off into the ceiling and beyond. And because... I don't know whatever it was that came out of me. I just said, I demand to speak to the High Commander.
Good.
I think about that now and go, wow. I don't know where I get my courage from.
That's great.
I said, remove all of these cords from this woman. Surrounded by these figures. I mean, they were very vividly there.
Wow. And did they remove them immediately?
They removed it immediately and they disappeared.
Oh, good. And she could breathe again.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful story. So tell us when your radio show is and your websites one more time so people can sign up for your travels or buy your books or tune into your show.
You can find all of my books on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 10 different books out now. Or you can come and visit me on www.syrianrevelations.net or patriciacorey.com. And my radio show is on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's called Beyond the Matrix for people who dare to think outside the box of convention, just like you.
Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed our talk today. It's been wonderful,
me
and I'm going to hit some more of your archives, darling.
Thank you, Veronica, and I will ask my publishers as soon as the book comes out to send you out a copy of Before We Leave You.
I appreciate that. And I just want to say, you have really infused this discussion with a lot of courage for me that we can actually move past this dominance by this 2,000 yahoos out there, you know.
Well, that's good. That's my job.
That's your
job. Helping people understand that we have the power.
Mm-hmm. We have. I believe that, and you really have helped to emphasize that, and thank you.
Well, you touched my heart.
Yeah. We'll talk again, I hope.
I hope so. Thank you so much, and thanks to all of your listeners.
All right. Enjoy Italy.
Okay, Veronica. Thank you very much.
Bye. That's been Patricia Corey talking about the thing that we are all seeing these days, which is the illumination of incredible corruption and how we've been bamboozled in so many ways, but how human nature and our evolution and our taking advantage of some of the most wonderful, for example, energy spots on the planet, we can imbue ourselves with the transformative energy we need to move past, to be peaceful beings who live in community and can move past the dominion and or the dominance and the oppression from a few. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love to talk to you. Email me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle, with any feedback on this show or suggestions of other guests, or if you'd like a session with me, or even with a discussion or relationship with Patricia Corey, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle. Many blessings to all of us for growing, changing, and being one at this great time of change on our planet. Thank you for listening, and good night. You still there?
Yes, I wanted to say thank you very much.
I've really enjoyed meeting you, and you've given me so much to think about.
Wonderful. Me too, Veronica. I hope to talk to you soon again.
You will, and I'm looking forward to your next book.
I promise you I'll make a note to put you on the list.
Thank you.
In fact, I will ask them if they've got any, galley copies are just coming out, if they've got any extras to send you one.
That'd be wonderful.
I think you're going to like it.
I'm sure. So far, I really like this one. I've only read the one, but I've read a lot of your website and so on. I'm really impressed with your work. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this one is the Earth Whales and Dolphins and the Ascended Whales and Dolphins, both speaking to the human race.
Great. We need that.
So we'll get it out to you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Take care, Veronica.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was our paradigm shifter for tonight, Patricia Corey, calling in from Italy. Isn't it wonderful to meet these amazing characters that really lift the light canopy around our collective? My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm so happy to be talking to these amazing people, and I'd love to talk to you. Email me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, with your feedback about these shows, and perhaps you have some suggestions about guests, fellow paradigm shifters that are making a difference on the collective. And if you'd like a session with me as well, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle, no H in Entwistle.com. Thank you so much for listening, and many, many blessings. Good night.